Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 50, and it will be our second and only other episode this week. Apologize, I've got some, as you can hear, the voice has taken a bit of a beating over the past few weeks, and I'm going to be on vacation for a little while. So we'll kind of, with the bye week, we'll take advantage of that a little bit ourselves, and we'll be back at it full throttle on Monday as the Steelers prepare for the Seahawks. But, Dave, let's get into it. Let's start by kind of wrapping up the relatively easy victory over the Browns. It appears from an injury perspective the Steelers came out of that game relatively healthy. No real thoughts about Ben in terms of what he has said. The Steelers practiced Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning. They're off now. They have vacation time, and they'll be back at it beginning next week as well. I guess the only question with Ben is what kind of shoe is he going to wear on that left foot, but the knee doesn't seem to be an issue. So relatively positive. Sean Spence was the other guy who came out with a hamstring, and we'll just kind of see where that goes on Monday, and then the Tomlin presser on Tuesday.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not required, of course, to put out an injury report this week on their bye week. So I put one out for them, David, and you kind of hit on the start of it there. Roethlisberger with that foot and knee, you know, he should be good to go. There's no reason to think that he won't be good to go against the Seahawks with that foot and knee. James Harrison, you know, kind of wondering what his status is going to be. He missed his first game of the season against the Browns. The good thing is that's backed up against a bye week. If you remember last year, David, he missed two consecutive games last season, I think, due to a similar issue with a knee. So hopefully with this bye week coming when it is, maybe they were just proactive, you know, with let's see if we can get by without Harrison, have the bye coming up, then we'll have him, you know, ready to go against the Seahawks. The thing with him is, boy, he sure is, and we may or may not have time to talk about it later in the podcast, he sure is absorbing a lot of the right outside linebacker snaps on third and long situations where the opposition passes. Really 2-1, if not a little more, you know, over Jarvis Jones. Sean Spence has a hamstring, but I think he said this week that he hopes to practice after the bye. Terrence Garvin is another guy we'll be watching at, you know, for early on next week, because he's missed the last four games due to a knee injury. But the thing is he was able to return to practice on a limited basis last week. So one would think that's a good sign. Shamarco Thomas, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you've heard anything on Shamarco. I missed the Browns game with a knee injury. Really wasn't, I don't think got a heads up from Mike Tomlin the previous Tuesday. So that really makes you kind of wonder what his status is right now. You know, it's obvious he's not getting time on the field as safety, but you know, he's still pretty good special teams contributor. And Matt Spaeth, I got him down as questionable because we really don't know what's going on with that knee of his. And then Landry Jones, I have him as doubtful right now for the Seahawks game, although it's really way early. But, you know, there was a report earlier in the week that he's got a severely sprained left ankle, needed an MRI on it. So really kind of, you know, we're in the dark. I'm sure Tomlin will update us on Tuesday. And that's your non-official injury report for the bye, David.
All right, good stuff. And we'll see with Landry Jones. And Dave, let me ask you a question that I posed on Twitter yesterday, and we haven't talked about it, and I haven't seen anybody bring it up at any point in time. As you mentioned, Landry Jones, he will be going into the last season of his rookie deal in 2016. He's scheduled to make, I think, $615,000. He's cheap, and he will certainly be on the team next year. Should the Steelers look to extend Landry Jones 2 or 3 years to be the backup this offseason, at something like, let's say, kind of $1.5 million, $1.75 million a year? If you want to give him a 3-year deal like Gretkowski got, you give him something like $5 million. Is that something at age, he'll be 27 next year, Is that something you'd be in favor of?
No.
Why not?
just because, you know, very, you know, I don't think you want to tie. Can you and it be economical? Yes. Would he be willing to do it? Probably not, to be quite honest with you. I mean, he's already going to – he knows he's going to make the $675,000 in 2016. So in my opinion right now, his stock's never been higher, right?
Yep.
So if his stock's never been higher, assuming it doesn't go lower the rest of this season, you know, in my opinion, why would he? You know,
well,
it's not really what
I asked. If you're the Steelers, would you do it?
Yeah, I mean, what type of numbers did you say?
About a 3-year deal at $5 million total.
So what?
$1.75 million, something like that.
What kind of signing bonus? A $2 million over 3 years?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, as long as you didn't go higher than that. I mean, because obviously
you're going to have to get a backup quarterback. And I had, you know, I talked on Twitter yesterday. A lot of people were in favor of it. Caboli was against it. He said you never extend a backup quarterback. Well, Steelers haven't really developed a backup quarterback in the time that Ben's been here. They had, you know, Leftwich and Batch, and they've had veteran guys, and they've had to go pay veteran guys, you know, veteran amounts of money. Gronkowski was, I think, what, $3 million this year? Pretty hefty chunk of change. Maybe it was less than that. Maybe it's $175 or something. But, I mean, this is a guy who knows the system. He's obviously comfortable with Ben. He's done better than we expected, obviously. And if it's not him, you've got to go get somebody else. So to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. Now, you might be right. Maybe he says, look, I can go get a 2-year, $4 million deal and maybe have a chance to start somewhere if over the next 20 games he gets a chance to play a little bit more and prove himself a little bit more. But for the Steelers, I think it's a layup.
Well, Gronkowski in the final year this year was scheduled to make a little over 1.5.
Okay, right.
So, and when you originally signed him, you gave him
3 years.
3 years, it was right around $5 million.
So I would be talking exactly that type of thing.
So, maybe it was just a tad. I'm trying to remember back. I think it was a $4.9 million deal, if memory serves me. And I know he didn't. I know he didn't get a signing bonus higher than $1 million. So, yeah, I mean, what you want to look at is a liability, you know, involved with guaranteed money. So obviously, if you could get Landry Jones to only take $1 million signing bonus with base salaries, you know, in the three years, well, yeah, because I mean, you don't have any really risk involved as far as dead money at that point.
Right.
So I guess the answer to your question is yes, comma, based on the guaranteed money that you're going to give him. I mean, obviously he's going to be there next year anyway. So whatever guaranteed money that you give him is kind of, you know, you just subtract what he was scheduled to earn in 2016 anyway. And then there you go. You know, so
the other thing is, you know, regardless of whether they extend him or not, all of a sudden it would not, you know, we're going to see the Steelers are going to draft a quarterback next year. I'm convinced that you're going to see again, kind of, you know, fourth round, fifth round.
I don't think they will right where we're sitting here today, to be honest with you. But you think they'll take one that early?
Fourth or fifth round? Well, I don't, you know, I'm not sure it's worth taking one much later than that, but. If you're actually going to try and have another guy and develop him and bring him along, and they believe, this isn't necessarily what I would do. I would just say, based on what they've said many times in their philosophy, we know Vic's not going to be back. I can't see them paying Gronkowski kind of, you know, $1.5 million or $2 million to be the third string quarterback. I don't see anybody else. So it would seem like the logical thing for them to do would be not to sign a veteran backup, but to draft a guy.
Okay, let me ask you this though. Next,
they're short picks, obviously.
They're gonna get a compensatory for Bryce McCain.
Yep.
You know, so that cancels.
That cancels the Boykin pick.
That cancels the Boykin pick. So
Basically cross out. So.
Right. So we'll have to – and look, you know, whatever they lost this year is – well, yeah, you're right. I forgot all about that. They got the pick back, so they're not short picks at all, you know. Here's the thing. Hopefully we'll be able to get to this a little bit later in this show as well, too. Bruce Gronkowski, what is his value on the market right now?
I think he'll be kind of a guy that people will look at a tier below Matt Cassel, a tier below Ryan Fitzpatrick, but maybe ahead of Brandon Whedon. So he'll be a guy that guys will look to. I think certainly if he shows that he's healthy and mobile, you know, he's not Jeff Garcia, but a guy that, you know, certainly you'd give $1 million to come into your camp.
Okay, so you would pay him more than the minimum on a qualifying veteran contract.
Not if I'm the Steelers, but if I'm some, you know, if I'm the Houston Texans or somebody else, I would.
Yeah, I will be shocked.
But I mean, the vet minimum's, you know, $900,000, so we're talking about virtually the same amount of money.
Right, but you get a heck of a lot of reduced
cap charge. 900,000. I'll pay him the vet minimum.
You know, but. Hey, here's the thing. I think that the Steelers would like him to come back and compete against Jones and push him during training camp once again for a backup role. I don't think Gronkowski is going to get a team to pay him more than a one-year veteran qualifying contract. I'll be shocked if he does. How many snaps has Gronkowski played in the last since he's been at Pittsburgh?
Well, in the 2 years, he got none, right? 2 years ago, and then he got 10 or 15 last year?
Yeah, so this is a guy that hasn't taken a regular season snap in since, you know,
the end of last year.
Yeah, which really wasn't much, right?
Right. Well, I mean, Landry Jones hasn't taken a ton of snaps either.
He's taken more than Bruce has during the 3 years. but, you know, and that's what I'm getting at. He's going to be, I think, what, 30, 33? I don't think he's going to be as attractive on free agency as maybe you think he's going to be. And for that reason, I think the Steelers give him a one-year veteran qualifying contract for the minimum and see if he can make the roster as the number two. And if he can't, well, then great. He's the number three and he holds a clipboard.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any problem with them bringing him back. I mean, it's a Batch Leftwich type of situation. I would not have him be the number two. I'd have him be the number three. But if he wants to come back for $1 million to Pittsburgh and that's how he kind of wants to finish his career, great.
That's why I think they won't burn the pick on the quarterback, David.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see. I think, you know, sitting where we're sitting right now, I would expect the Steelers to draft a quarterback. They're obviously not going to have just three in camp, and they certainly won't have two other veterans come in with Landry Jones there. I wouldn't think any veteran would kind of take that. You know, you got Ben already, so you're not going to play. And then you got Landry, who's, you know, at least, you know, proved something. And then if they bring a guy like Gronkowski, you're not going to get another veteran in. You're going to need a fourth guy. So maybe it's just an undrafted free agent. But I'm guessing I'll just take a flyer right now that they take a fourth or fifth round guy in the draft at quarterback. And I do think they will extend Landry Jones. Now, whether he turns it down, that's a different story, but I think they'll offer it to him.
Would you take it if you're Landry Jones?
Would I take 3 years and $5 million with kind of $2 million up front? Sure. I mean, you know, he likes it here in Pittsburgh. I don't, you know, look, Ben's shown that he can be injured. You know, you get a chance to be on the, you know, it's not necessarily likely, but over the course of 3 years, you're going to get a chance to start some games, probably. And if you do well, are you trade bait then all of a sudden? Can they, you know, be Ryan Mallett type of guy where other teams are maybe interested in you?
No, I mean, it's possible. I think there's a greater chance of an extension happening for Landry Jones than there is them drafting a quarterback. But look, you know, they would have to make that decision during training camp, right? Because that's when it happens.
Well, they're going to have to make the drafting decision, obviously. I think you could see all this stuff happen. You know, and look, I mean, if they don't extend Landry Jones, then you might think it's more likely they draft a quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, I think you wait. I don't think you do anything with Landry Jones until after the draft.
Right.
I mean, when is the last time they've attacked a guy not named Ben Roethlisberger or Cam a guy like Ben, you know, not named Ben Roethlisberger, and extended him prior to going prior to the draft.
No doubt, but I think you want to have an idea of what you're going to do. Obviously, you're going to roadmap your plan, and so come the end of the season, I would think they'll have an idea. Obviously, if you're going to draft a quarterback, and at the same time, you're going to have an idea of whether you want to extend Landry Jones, because I don't think anything you see in OTAs is going to impact that decision. So, you know, at the time of the draft, I think you're going to know whether you want to draft a quarterback and whether you want to extend Landry Jones, and maybe they go together, maybe they don't, but. If you haven't planned like that, then you're not planning very well.
Did we just spend 10 minutes talking about extended Landry Jones? Who would have bet we've been having that conversation early in the year? I'll go this far. I'll guarantee you that they won't extend Landry Jones prior to the draft.
I'm good with that.
And I'll guarantee you that they won't draft a quarterback prior to the fifth round.
I said fourth or fifth, so I won't take that bet, because fifth is what, you know, fourth or fifth is where I am.
And then, you know, whatever happens after that. I mean, I think it comes down to what, you know, if Landry's good.
I'll guarantee you they offer Landry Jones an extension.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't they? I mean, you put anything out there on a piece of paper, but will we know? I don't know. I don't know if we'll know for sure. While we're kind of talking about kind of taking that route, why don't we go ahead and talk about a few more guys here?
Lawrence
William
Simmons.
Gay. Huh? Well, I mean, he's not – well, I want to talk about the unrestricted guys.
Okay.
William Gay. I mean, you absolutely have to re-sign him, right?
Yeah, what do you offer him? Do you offer him? Do you offer him 2 years at $8 million?
A little less if I can. I want him around, you know, $3.5 million.
Cap,
maybe.
By the way, remember, cap keeps going up $10 million a year, so all these contracts are going to have to go up.
Yeah, I
don't want to lowball William Gay.
I try to get him for three years, you know, maybe nine, you know. With $1.5 million signing bonus.
How old is he, 31?
Here's the thing about him. He's played all these consecutive games, never missed those games. And then, you know, he's 30 right now. He'll turn 31 in January.
So 31, 32, 33. I don't know if I want to pay him a third year. I don't think he's a great man for a third year either.
Here's the thing with him is, you know, that third year is almost really like an option year, because if you pay him $1.5 million, you know, $1.5 million signing bonus to sign, well, you only got $500,000 in dead money in that last year. But hey, if you need him and he's playing well, you got him locked up below market. More than anything, the 3 years is to help allocate the the signing bonus there. But we're in agreement that it's that A, they need to do it. And B, it's going to get done, right?
Yeah, like I said, I'd be hesitant to go a third year, because I don't think he'll get a third year on the market. But I'm not going to lowball him. So, you know, 2 years, $8 million feels good to me.
Yeah, but I mean, we are agreement that he needs to be re-signed and that it will be done.
Yeah, I mean, you got Senquez Golden, you got Doran Grant, you got Cortez Allen. Cortez is under contract. You got Ross Cockrell. I thought you and I were in agreement that Kelvin Beachum needs to be done. I don't know. We have no idea what to make of Senquez Golson. And we certainly don't have any idea what the Steelers actually in their hearts think of Cortez Allen. And if those two things don't match up with what kind of we might think right here sitting today, I could see letting William Gay walk because of his age, draft a corner high again in the draft, and you've got Cockrell, you've got Cortez, you've got Senquez Golson. But it would seem to be this in Doran Grant, but it would seem to be the safe route certainly is to bring him back.
Absolutely, and I think they will. Kelvin Beachum, a guy that I thought for sure they were going to lock up. Evidently, they tried to. They probably tried to give him Marcus Gilbert money, you know, and he probably thought he was worth more. And I don't know this for a fact, but it would make sense, and it would be a slap in the face if they didn't offer him a contract similar to what Marcus Gilbert got a few years ago. And he gambled, and now it looks like he's lost. Torn ACL earlier in the season on that left knee. Now the thing is how damaged of goods is he right now, and how much has he hurt his market value? And the Steelers still have another six games to kind of evaluate Alejandro Villanueva. Where do you think this ends up going with Beecham? Do you think do you think he's played his last game in Pittsburgh?
I do. I don't think it'll probably have killed his market value. Guys, particularly offensive linemen coming back from a torn ACL is not a huge deal, assuming it's the normal type. Look, we're seeing running backs come back from ACLs. Offensive linemen can do it. He's a smart guy. I think his market value will be kind of $6 million on the open market, depending how many years. I don't know. Dave, I don't – you have a stronger opinion about this than I do about whether he can play anywhere but left or right tackle. He's obviously played center. He's not played guard. I'll go back to what I said in the offseason is the fact that he is the smallest left tackle in the game by a margin. It's a little bit like Jay Happ pitching for the Pirates is the analogy I would give. Jay Happ pitched for the Pirates, and they got to watch these 12 games with him, with their staff working with him. If you're a team that's out there, one of the other 29 baseball teams, and you look at Jay Happ's 12 games versus the first half of the season with Seattle in the past couple of years, you go, huh, I don't really know. So the Pirates have a much better evaluative stance. For the Steelers, it's the same thing. If you're one of the 31 other teams in the NFL, you're looking, do I want to go out in the market and get the smallest left tackle in the game and a guy who's coming off injury? I mean, how much is it worth to me? So I think his value is, maybe that's why the contract didn't work out. I think his value is probably higher to the Steelers than anybody else. And I don't know, Beecham is a guy who might fall through the cracks a little bit, might have to get a one-year deal and with somebody to rebuild his market value. I don't see him hitting a home run in free agency, $5, $6 million a year, but I don't think he'll be back.
I think his market value right now is the $6 million, I think, is kind of the bottom floor with him. I think he's worth that. I mean, assuming, of course, he beats his ACL, which we all expect. There's no reason to think that he won't. He's a technician. He is a great human. He is a great locker room guy. And any scouting department across the league, with him being a free agent, is going to know who he is, and they're going to look at his tape. And his tape, although not great at the beginning of this year, it was not awful. And with that said, he's put together some great starts at left tackle despite his size. So, Kelvin Beecham's always a guy that you when you talk about, you say, Kelvin his last name should be smallest tackle in the league, smallest left tackle in the league, because it seems like every time people want to knock him for his size. But there's no doubt he can play the position. I think the Steelers try to approach him on another deal, but I'm with you. I'm not convinced that he returns, and as far as him being a multi-position player, yes, he can give you snaps at guard. And yes, he can give you snaps at center. That's not the point of the matter. Are those quality snaps? And I just, he's best fit to play tackle in this league, either right or left side. Hey, even $5 or $6 million, David, for a starting right tackle in the league is fine and dandy. So he's going to at least get that. Some team's going to say, well, all right, maybe not a left tackle, but we'll gladly pay him $5 to $6 million to start the next 5 years for us at right tackle.
I don't think anybody's giving him a 5 or 6 year deal, but I don't disagree with the premise that someone could, sign him to be the right tackle.
Six is long, obviously, but what I'm saying is five. It would not be surprising to me if he did get that long. I mean, he's going to play that long, right?
He is going to play that long, but I don't want to tie myself to that kind of commitment coming off, just size and injury and not being with my team. I mean, I'll give him a 3-year deal for sure, maybe four. I'm not going past that.
But you're not really committed. All you're doing is extending your signing bonus.
Yeah, if it's guaranteed, then who cares?
So I think that's the way you got to look. And that's the way I'm looking at this thing is, if he does play that fourth and fifth year, you've probably got a very good market value on a starting right tackle in the league with very little salary cap dead money tied up on the back end 2 years on that as well, too. So it's going to be an interesting situation to watch. I hope they're able to retain him some way, somehow. But, Alejandro Villanueva, not great, but progressing, you know, might still have some progressing left with him. Let's move on. Steve McClendon, what are you doing there?
2 years, $7-8 million, no problem. Same thing. Roll along. What's he, 29? Nose tackle is a devalued position, but you got to have somebody. He to me kind of same numbers as William Gay.
Yeah, and that's fair. You know, I think $3 million is kind of the ceiling on his value based on the amount of snaps that he has going to play. He is a guy, though, I guarantee he's going to get some attention during free agency from some other teams. I mean, why wouldn't he?
I'm with you. I'm a fan.
I think there's a good chance he's back. I think the Steelers would be foolish not to get him back. Say what you will about Daniel McCullough's progressing, but you know what you got right there in McClendon, and especially against the run. Ramon Foster.
Shake hands and thank him. If he wants to come back again, kind of on a one or two, same type of numbers. I mean, I'll pay Ramon. Look, we both agree that offensive line will be one of the first three rounds in the draft. Looking at that and tackle, left guard and tackle, and they need depth. So if Ramon wants to come back on a 1 or 2 year deal at $4 million a year, I would be willing to do it. But I would bet a lot of money the Steelers move on at this point.
Would you pay him 3 years, 5.5, which is what he got last time around?
5.5 total.
Yep.
Yeah, if he's 3 years at under two, I mean, then I'll eat the third year happily at that point. I mean, if he's not getting it done, and you draft a guy in the second round and groom him to be whatever it is they're grooming him to be. But yeah, on the cheap, sure. I mean,
okay. What about obviously prices going up with the cap going up? Would you give him 3 years, 6.5?
Yeah, because I would consider giving him, seven or eight for two. So if a third year at less money total, I'm doing, because I don't care about, at that point, I'm still saving money. So the third year doesn't matter to me. So, yeah, I mean, look, your starting offensive guard in the NFL, if he's on his rookie deal, maybe you can have a guy who's making, less than $1 million, so that saves you on your cap, but he's been in the league long enough, he's going to get something. So I think his value is probably kind of like McClendon and Gay, $3 million a year, something like that, 3 to 4.
Yeah. And I think if you gave him a $1.5 million signing bonus and on a 3 year deal, and if you gave him the minimum base salary that he can earn for his amount of years in a league, you're talking, that's 2.5 guaranteed roughly right there. I mean, he should sign for that, you would think. And then
what did Willie Colon get from the Jets?
I can't remember what he got on there. It seemed like it was a 1 year. I'm trying to remember exactly. Let me look
it up real quick. I mean, I just feel like maybe I was surprised what he got at the time.
Well, in 2013, he signed a how much was it?
He signed a $950 with the Jets, a 1 year deal with a $65,000 signing bonus, $65,000 guaranteed.
So that was a 1 year qualifying contract he signed this year.
This year, $870,000.
Right. It was a 1 year veteran minimum qualifying contract. You can tell by the $65,000. Signing bonus.
Yeah, and so with the contract 2014, he got $1 million base and a $750 roster bonus and a $250 signing bonus. So he made $2 million in 2014.
Right, and he's concerned. He was about the same age at that time as Ramon Foster is now.
Yeah,
so
that's a decent comp.
So I think they make that happen with the eyes of hoping they can get a year or two out of them, and of course go into the draft, looking for the heir apparent left guard. There's no guarantee that you get them, and obviously you'd probably have to make a decision on Cologne right around prior to the draft, right? I mean, because you got to figure he's going to have some market value, right?
Yeah, not a ton, but some.
I think he'll have some that enough that he would be signed by the time the draft rolls around, right?
Yeah, I just looked. They're 32 teams. You know, the guy's going to have some interest, but he's not going to be in high demand.
Right, but before the draft, right?
Yeah, probably.
All right, Mike Adams.
Zero. Shake hands.
Yeah, I mean, do you even? I think the big thing with Mike Adams is what happens with Kelvin Beachum. If you can't sign Kelvin Beachum, would you give Mike Adams a 1 year deal for the minimum to come back and compete for a swing tackle spot?
No.
No. No, not at all, huh?
I'm done with Mike Adams.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, and I wouldn't blame them either. I think a lot of that's going to have to do with what happens with Kelvin Beachum. Look, I mean, if you could get this guy to come in at least compete for a roster spot at a minimum, I don't see how you not do that. But he has no market value above that, if you ask me. Antoine Blake, this ought to be a fun one.
You know, there's a point here where the roster's getting full. And, you know, if you re-sign Gay and you have Golson and you have Grant and you have Cockrell and you have Cortez Allen, I mean, there is a point where you say, okay – you know, I'm not bringing him back. And look, at minimum numbers, do I bring him back? Sure. At much more than that, no, I don't think it was a disaster that they let go to Miami this year.
Bryce McCain.
I don't think that was a disaster, and I don't think it'd be a disaster if Blake goes somewhere else either.
Right. It's not a disaster if you lose him. What's his market value, though? Minimum?
Yeah. You know, maybe Bryce McCain got $5 million over 3 years. I don't think Blake gets that.
No, there's no way. Somebody needs to lose their job if they give him that. But, I mean, you would bring him back on a one-year minimum deal if he'd take it, right?
Try to make the team, sure.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see which way that goes, much to the chagrin of the Steeler fan base. Brandon Boykin's counting down the days to free agency,
yeah, I mean,
right?
He's not even going to entertain an offer, and he's not going to get one. So.
Yeah, he's gone. Greg Warren, assuming he wants to keep playing, another one-year veteran minimum qualifying contract for him, right?
No mistakes from him this year. Sign him up.
What are you doing with Sean Spence?
Bringing him back.
One-year minimum if he'll take it?
Yeah, and I might give him a little bit more than that. I mean, I might go up to like, you know, $1.5 million. But that circles back to the Lawrence Timmons questions, which is a huge one.
Yeah, well, if Timmons wants to stay, he's going to have to extend the contract.
So Timmons' cap hit is $15 million. He's owed $8 million in cash this coming year. Would the Steelers just walk away from that? If you have Vince Williams, Ryan Shazier, Sean Spence, you draft a guy, you got Garvin I mean, that's it. Look, Timmons is certainly fine, and if you were paying him $4 million, we wouldn't be having the conversation. But at $8 million and a $15 million cap hit, is it possible that, you know, you just thank him for his service? He'll be 30 years old?
Well, yeah, I mean, you save $8.7 by cutting him.
Yep, that's a lot of money.
You know, and that's a lot of cap money. But here's the thing. If he would extend – I mean, remember, he's only 29. If he would extend, here's the thing: the lowest his cap hit can be in 2007 is right around $7.4 million. Because
2017,
huh?
2017 or
no? I'm talking 2016.
You said 2007, so sorry, I was trying to.
I'm sorry. 2000. Look, he is under contract through 2016.
Yep.
His cap number next year is scheduled to be $15.1 million. You save $8.75 million by cutting him outright. However, if you extend him, and let's say he takes the first year of that extension, 2016 base is $1 million. The lowest his cap hit can be next year is right at about $7.4 million, okay? So you would save the $8 million right there, right? So what I'm saying is you can save $8.7 million by cutting him outright, or you can save that roughly that amount of money in cap space by you know, extending him and you know, not giving him a huge signing bonus.
Well, right, I mean, and that depends, obviously, on is he going to agree to some extension, what amount of money, all that stuff. So it will be – look, the point is it's going to be an open conversation about what they do with Lawrence Timmons in the offseason.
Right, and Spence right now, to be honest with you, though, David, is he worth more than a minimum salary?
Well, you know
– I mean, you can't pay everybody.
Yeah, I mean, look, if it's $1.5 million, I'm not sweating that.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth that. I think you offer him a one-year deal for a minimum. He's not going to get much attention on the open market, I don't think. We'll
see.
They're
paying Golden, Shemarco, and Garvin all $1.5 million on those restricted RFAs. They're all making $1.5 million. I think Sean Spence is certainly that caliber player.
Yeah, maybe they could get him to sign something like a three-year, $3 million or something. You know, he'd come out good in the long run that way, with a little bit of guaranteed money. Definitely a name that you could debate, and we will be debating the rest of the offseason. Cam Thomas.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, parting gift, and that's it. Will Allen.
I'm sure he retires. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, we've been saying that for the last 3 years, all right?
Yep.
Mike Tomlin needs to cut that cord once and for all. Yeah, I'm willing to bet that he finally cuts the cord. Of course, I said last year at the same time, probably I'm willing to bet that's going to happen too. Robert Golden, you absolutely got to bring him back.
Yeah, so, he's making $1.5 million. I don't know if you give him 2 years and $3 million or something like that. That's his value. He's not going to get a lot in the open market.
Do you wave goodbye to Clifton Gathers, even though you could get him back on a one-year qualifying contract with a reduced cap hit?
Sure. Thanks for coming.
Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah, have the conversation with him for sure. If he's not getting a better offer elsewhere, you bring him back at the minimum. I mean, I don't have any problem him coming back being the guy he is. You're going to probably try and get Sammy Coates in the lineup. You're probably going to draft a wide receiver because Marcus Wheaton's going to be in his last year. So he's going to have to make the team.
Yeah, I mean, right now, though, he's considered a marginal special teams player that, oh, by the way, is a fast wide receiver, right?
Yeah, if he's gone, he's gone. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think if you can get him to sign one of the one-year qualifying contracts to come to camp and compete, you do it. Otherwise, see ya. We already had a good talk about Bruce Gronkowski. I think you offer him a one-year veteran minimum deal. With the $80,000 signing bonus. If he wants it, fine. If he doesn't, see ya. Mike Vick.
I mean, how are we going to answer that?
Jordan Todman.
I would bring Jordan Todman back. I don't know. What are they paying him this year?
Minimum.
Okay. He can come back at the minimum. You're going to probably draft a running back because you're going to have Le'Veon Bell questions about what you do in the offseason.
I think that's money good spent. Or wisely spent right there with Jordan Todman for sure. I mean, he's going to cost you probably 800 something thousand for one season, 900,000. But I mean, he'll play special teams for you. He can return kicks, and he's best number three running back in the league?
Well, who knows? Yeah, whatever. But
come on, let me have some.
Yeah,
fun
yeah, he's your boy.
Will Johnson.
I think he's probably done. I think Nix is taking over his role and can't take over his role, and they'll find somebody else who'll be a little bit cheaper. I think he's been a really a good player for the Steelers, a good bottom of the roster guy for the Steelers for a bunch of years. But I'm guessing it's probably over.
Will any team have interest in him?
David Johnson has a job in the league, so I certainly won't say no about anybody.
Yeah, I think somebody will pay him. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced the Steelers will. Be nice to get him to at least come back and compete against Knicks, in case injury happens. But we'll see. Doug Legursky.
No chance.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if that chance did happen, that chance would happen a week before training camp because you suffered an injury somewhere. Byron Stingley.
No chance.
I'm actually going to give him a chance of signing a one-year contract for the minimum because of the – look, you got to have bodies for camp, right? and you could get this guy in a one-year veteran minimum contract easily. So I'm going to give him a slightly a higher chance of returning than the 0.000 that you're giving him.
Right. Okay.
Isaiah Peed.
I doubt it.
Yeah, how much do what's the cost of a blocking dummy? One of those things you roll out there. David Nelson. Did you even know he's still on the roster?
I didn't. He plays wide receiver, right?
He's on IR. What do you have? Like three plays during the practice during training camp? And that was it. Yeah, in fact, I wrote with him, thanks, but no thanks. So, I mean, quite a list there, right?
What about Matt Faith? Is he under contract?
Under contract.
For another year?
Yeah.
I thought this was the end of him because, that's interesting because will they come back with the same tight end group next year?
He's $1 million base salary for Matt Spaeth. Even if he misses four games on you, is damn well worth it, if you ask me, right?
Yeah, so Spaeth, you're going to come back with all three guys. And, there's your hat. That's where Will Johnson's gone. Jesse James is going to dress all the time with Spaeth and Heath. So I was thinking tight end would be a first three-round priority, but maybe it's not. I guess maybe it's – well, I don't know. It depends what you think of Jesse James' long-term future. If you think he's Matt Spaeth, maybe you draft a tight end. If you think he's Heath Miller, then you don't draft a tight end.
Now Spaeth's not getting any younger, so he's definitely going to have to – here's the thing. Spaeth's going to be in camp. So, how he does will determine, of course, whether or not he makes the roster. If he doesn't, you save $1 million – $1 million.
Okay, let's ask this. Right where you sit right now, what are the top three priorities in terms of the draft?
Edge rusher. I'll throw a cornerback in the third round because that you know good and damn well they ain't drafting one before that.
No offensive lineman?
Nah. Look, if you get value there, I don't think it's going to be a tackle personally, David. I mean, I think they would be more on the lookout for a guard, a left guard type that can pull.
I'll say edge rusher, defensive end, safety, and the reason I say defensive end is if you could throw a third guy into that mix with Tuitt and Hayward, it saves you. I mean, those guys are playing too many snaps. So I wouldn't do it in the first round, but I'd certainly be looking in the second round. I'm with you on edge rusher. Harrison's gone. Moats is a guy. We don't know what to make of the other two guys, and it's, 3 years in for Jarvis. So keep trying. And I'll take safety in the third round over corner just because Senquez Golson and Doran Grant, if you think you have anything in Senquez Golson and all the other guys you have, I wouldn't mind having a safety to pair with Mike Mitchell back there.
They just don't like to draft safeties, that high, I don't think. I mean, obviously, Shamarco, they traded up for him. But I'll put it to you this way. I will be shocked if they take a tackle or a safety in the first three rounds. I will be shocked. I think, and I'll be shocked if they take a defensive end as well. I think realistically, edge rusher, corner, and a offensive lineman are your best bets of being the three picks in the first three picks. To be quite honest with you, I just safeties are such a crapshoot.
Yeah, you had me on offensive. You talked me out of offensive lineman, but yeah, I think I'll throw four in there. All right, so what else we're gonna get our picks in for the week. What else we gonna hit before that? The BJ Finney thing.
Yeah, BJ Finney got a raise, which makes you really think that a team came after him on the practice squad. He is now making a weekly salary that he would make if he was on the 53-man roster. So hey, You know, it is what it is. Obviously, the kid, as you could tell by as emotional as he got after he signed with the Steelers as a undrafted free agent, that he really wants to play in Pittsburgh. Another team probably came calling. He probably really wants to stay in Pittsburgh. They told him you might have a future here, so they gave him a raise. So that's a big deal there. At some point, will B.J. Finney, by the end of this season, be promoted to the 53-man roster?
Only if they have not. No, I think they've already pacified him. He had a chance. If somebody came after him, he had a chance to go to a 53-man roster. He turned it down to be with the Steelers. The promise obviously was, you know, we're going to give you a shot next year, you know, to be a starting left guard. We like what you have. You can take Ramon Foster's place. So no, I don't think so.
The thing is, I think practice squad. So, you'd have to sign him right away to a futures deal after the season ends, and one would think that would happen there. So that's the only thing I got there. I guess we can, really not much more to talk about here. We'll get to our picks right now then.
All right, good stuff. And obviously, we'll be back at it Monday on the bye week. Not a lot to report from Steeler camp. Okay. Tonight's game, it seems meaningless in the big picture. For most people, it is meaningless. Jacksonville gets a bargain with the win last week. The refs screwing up over the Ravens. They're a 3-point favorite at home over the Titans. I think all of a sudden people feel like these two teams, they're not going to be competitive this year, but they're both headed in at least in the right direction because they both got their quarterbacks in place. Jags are a 3-point favorite, Dave. I'll take the Jags. And by the way, Allen Robinson, going into last week, or I think it was last week, a little surprising number. I know you weren't a huge fan of him, and I like Marquise Lee better. I'm not denying that. But that led the league going into last week in receptions of more than 20 yards.
I wonder how many of those. You know what's interesting? Because remember, he was a big play guy, but a lot of his big plays came after catches of like 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, right? Do you remember that?
I don't remember as much of that, to be honest with you, no, but I believe you.
If my memory serves me right, he was more of a guy that delivered the big play after the catch, sort of like another guy. Although Antonio Brown can stretch the field on you, I'll research it. I'm gonna try to research this to see how many of his catches, of those explosive plays came within 10 yards of the original line of scrimmage. It shouldn't be hard to figure that out, but interesting. And he's on one of my championship fantasy teams this year.
Good.
So I'm all for him. I'll take the Jaguars and lay the points as well, too. I think they hand it to Tennessee tonight.
Carolina -7 at home against Washington. Washington's been a huge surprise this year, no doubt about it. Kirk Cousins is making, some people look smart for putting him in as the starter. It did some really good things last week as they blew out New Orleans. Carolina, look, Washington's been really good at home. They haven't been good on the road. This is on the road. But Carolina's not the type of team to blow a lot of teams out. And I haven't been a buyer of the Redskins at all season. But, I don't think they win this game, but I'll say they keep it closer. I'll take the 7 points.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that way as well, too. At some point, you think somebody's going to catch up with Carolina. You would just think, nobody gave the Texans a prayer of beating the Bengals the other night, and that happened. I'm not saying Washington wins this, but I think they keep it close as well, too. Give me Washington plus the points.
Very interesting line here, Dave. The Raiders, who did not look good at home against Minnesota, they got run over by Adrian Peterson. Clearly, their defense isn't good. The Steelers showed it to them. The Vikings did as well. So, I'm way less worried about them as a wild card factor here. They've got to go to Detroit. And you know what? Detroit's coming off a win. They got some new coaches in place. Their defense, their corners aren't bad. Their secondary's not bad. So I actually think the Lions, maybe that offense kind of puts some points up and they win this game at home. They're getting one, and I'll call them to win outright.
Wow, that's a gutsy call right there. Man, Detroit's defense is just bad. Oakland is a better team than what they played than how they played last week. I've got to take Oakland on the road and cover this.
Yeah, it'd be big for the Steelers, obviously, if the Lions were to get to win. Dallas goes to Miami. This would be Miami got one. They got one last week in Philadelphia, so they didn't lose all three of those games on the road. But I'll take the Cowboys with Romo. Maybe again rooting with my heart rather than my head, but it's a pick 'em game. I'll take Dallas.
Boy, it kind of looks like somebody's trying to set you up for something on this one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I realize Romo has missed all this time, but this is Romo. I smell a rat here. I really, really do. And because of that, give me Miami to cover at home and win this outright.
Colts are getting 6 with Hasselbeck in Atlanta. Boy, Atlanta's one of those teams on a free fall. I don't think Indianapolis with Hasselbeck's a terrible team. I think he's a pretty smart guy. Get the ball out of his hands. 6 seems like too many. I don't know if they win, but I'll take the points.
Yeah, this seems like another setup as well, too, only going the other way this time. Atlanta, Matty Ice at home against Hasselbeck. I think they're going to be able to – that defense is going to be able to get after that Colts offensive line. Give me Atlanta to win this one by 10.
All right. The Rams go to Baltimore, and, boy, I think one of the most shocking scores of the season for me was the Rams getting blown out by Chicago last week at home. And, you know, I haven't watched any I haven't seen any highlights or anything of that game, but they stomped them. They make a quarterback change, bench Nick Foles for Case Keenum. I mean, desperate times. The Ravens have played all their games within 8 points. So, you know, what do you do here? Whatever. I'll keep betting on the Rams because I got them winning that division. That's not going to happen, but I want to see them make the playoffs instead of Seattle. I'll take the 2.5 with no conviction.
Yeah, I have. We've been giving the Rams defense maybe a little bit too much credit this year. That front, though, I sure would like to have a couple of guys off that front. That's for sure. I think Baltimore is just I knew Baltimore wasn't going to be the team, or I thought that I knew that they weren't going to be the team that many had projected them to be this year. I was right there. I didn't think they would be this bad in the win loss column. I think they're a better team than their record shows, for whatever that's worth. I think Baltimore covers this one at home.
You know, I was thinking, Dave, that the whole thing that happened last week, because neither of these teams are in contention, nobody cares. But it's actually a win-win for Baltimore. They can say that the refs jobbed them. They should have won the game. But they get the loss in the standings and get the better draft pick. I mean, for playoff contention, obviously it would be a huge deal, but it's not. I feel like they got the best of all worlds. Jets-Texans, I don't have a line for that. What do you got?
2.5.
Jets favored?
Yeah.
This is a huge game for the Texans and for the Steelers. If the Texans can win this game, puts them in great spot in their division, and if the Texans beat the Jets, it helps the Steelers immensely. So I'll go with my heart and take the Texans at home, although I actually think it's going the other way.
Yeah, and I think this is I threw out that early line too. I think this is off the board right now.
It's off the board for me, yeah. Quarterback situation.
But we'll be in this and we need a line, we'll go with 2.5. I think the Jets cover this one on the road, David.
Yeah. Green Bay goes to Minnesota. Minnesota -1. Is it a complete free fall for the Packers? Terrible offensive line. For some reason, Randall Cobb, because he doesn't have Jordy Nelson, not the threat that he was. Eddie Lacy inactive last week. They lose to the Lions at home. The Vikings look, solid defensively, really deep. Adrian Peterson, by the way, if you haven't looked at Adrian Peterson's numbers, go take a look. Dave, go with the hot hand. I'll take the Vikings -1 at home.
I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I won't do it. I'm not believing this. Green Bay's a better team than this, and you know it as well, too. Green Bay wins this one in a rout.
Oh, I'll be surprised. I think their offensive line is so bad. Okay, the Eagles -5.5 hosting Tampa Bay. All right, whatever. I'll take the Eagles. They're too high. They're too.
Yeah, and you don't want to be wrong on the Eagles this year either, and you're headed that direction.
Yeah. Bradford separated shoulder on the left side, a concussion. Looks like Sanchez probably gets a start.
Yeah, I think the Eagles defense is doing enough. And I think I've said it for the last couple weeks with this. I think they've got better running game as well too. I don't have much conviction here. What are you showing, 5.5? Yeah, give me the Eagles to cover that.
Here is the line that you would have, if you put this out 2 months ago, somebody would have said, would have called you insane. Chicago hosting Denver, Chicago -1. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Jay Cutler's playing a lot better than people probably realize. Brock Osweiler's obviously getting the start. I mean, how bad can he be? Because I can't see Chicago putting up more than 17, 18 points. So can Denver do that? Maybe the answer is no. I don't know, but I can't get behind Chicago, so I'll take Denver in the points. And by the way, if Denver loses this, opens up everything for everybody in the AFC,
especially in the AFC West. That's for sure. How much does John Fox knowing about Brock Osweiler help?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Didn't think of that.
You know how much does the intel play into this? Yeah, I think Brock makes some mistakes in this game. I think this comes down to a field goal at the end. I think Chicago can win this. So, man, give me Chicago at home, laying the point.
Arizona -5 against Cincinnati. Give me the Cards. And I know you pointed it out to me, Dave, on Twitter. Monday morning quarterback Peter King doing a two-part yesterday.
Oh, man, today, absolutely fantastic.
About Carson Palmer implementing the game plan for the Week 8 game against the Browns that already happened. Well worth your time.
Absolutely. Watch the videos, too, that are coming with. And we'll talk, I think, more about this later. But it just goes to show you how much goes in, you know, how much goes into a game plan and the play calling and everything. And absolutely do not miss that article. Go read it right now. Arizona, I'm with you. Arizona's the best team in the NFL as far as I'm concerned. Give me Arizona to win this one by a touchdown over Cincinnati.
Seahawks -13 hosting the Niners. I don't care. Not going to touch it. Give me San Francisco for amusement purposes only.
Yeah, I think Seattle just a tougher team at home. Blaine Gabbert, nothing here I like. So give me Seattle to cover at home.
Steeler fans, if you're 4 o'clock in front of the TV on Sunday, you got the Chiefs and the Chargers on. Root hard for the Chargers. The Chiefs are laying 3, Dave. You know what? I'll take the 3 points. I'm banking on the Chiefs, but all these picks, I'm actually betting the Steelers. Whatever helps the Steelers. So +3, I'll take them.
Yeah, I mean, Phillip Rivers, give me Phillip Rivers over Alex Smith, but Alex Smith has gone how many – what's the stat? How many without a interception pass attempts? I thought I saw that stat this morning. Alex Smith is not Phillip Rivers, and I think that's going to be – I think that could be the difference in the game here. So give me San Diego. I think they win this outright on a field goal in the last minute.
Pats -7 against the Bills.
Bill Belichick wants to hang a 50 burger on Rex bad. You know he does. The thing is, does he have the weapons to do it? I don't know if he'll hang 50, but I think the Patriots will cover that.
I think it'll be close, but I think it'll be right, 7-point game. But I'll take the Pats too. Give me the quick stats on the corners. Which side they played?
Yeah, and here's the most amazing thing about it is Antoine Blake has swapped right and left every game so far, I think, this season. So we'll talk a little bit. I have no rhyme or reason why that's happening, but, Blake's, will play one game on the right, one game on the left, and that stuck out like a sore thumb on the charting.
And with who on the other side, Gay?
Well, yeah, Gay obviously on the other side is starting, and in base situations. Whatever side I think Blake has been on, has started on, is the side that he's on in the nickel as well, too.
And then who's in the slot there? Is it
Gay
and Cockrell on the outside? Okay.
Right. So we'll have a little bit more time. I wanted to spend a little bit more time than we just did, but we'll talk a little bit more of that perhaps next week. Folks, we hope you enjoyed this bi-week edition. We went kind of a different direction for you this week for sure. I think I even surprised David with a few things there, talking about some of the free agents there. If you have any questions or want to comment on what we talked about, feel free to do so. You can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast @gmail.com. Make sure you're listening to David's show, although I think David will be heading out of town for the next week. Am I right, David?
You can catch me the Monday after Thanksgiving. Yep, I'll be doing the podcast, but taking a little vacay.
Quick shout-out. Carol Owings, Peter Jennings. Peter Jennings, I wonder if that's a news guy. I doubt it. Charles Flashman, Michael. Sorry, Peter. thanks for the donation. Michael Smith, Wayne. Man, I'm blind as a bat, David. York Gittes, Junior Edison, Michael Ellis, Dennis Maloney, Guys, people, thanks for the donations here. We certainly do appreciate it.
I got one too. Molly Woodruff, Yale 97, Butler High School 93. Just missed her 40th birthday by about a week, but Molly, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Molly. David, get us out of here.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.